Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in and sharing your time with us tonight. This is DSMA Live. DSMA stands for Diabetes Social Media Advocacy and is a program provided by the Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation. We're all about empowering, connecting, supporting, and educating those who live with diabetes. Tune in every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time at dsmalive.org. Our show is recorded live, and tonight is the 18th of June, 2015. We would love to hear from anyone out there listening. Our call-in number is 760-283-5150. Again, that number is 760-283-5150. My name is Scott. I'm one of the co-hosts. Our other co-host, George, will hopefully be joining us any moment now. And then we've also got the founder and creator of DSMA, Charisse.
Hello, everyone. I'm sorry. My voice is going to be going in and out. I promise that I am not sick. But it'll kind of be like the show where Scott had the hiccups every 2 minutes. So if you can bear through that, that was from a couple of years ago. So I don't know if anyone's out there still listening remembers that show. But you may want to look through the archives for that show because it's actually really hilarious.
If you need a laugh. Right. If you need something to cheer you up, find that show. I think it was the show where we actually talked with my friend and colleague here at My Sugar, Kyle Rose. So yeah, that was really funny. Actually, I mean it was horrible at the time, but it was really funny. And of course, as soon as the show was done and we hung up, then the hiccups were gone too. So that just figures, doesn't it?
I think so. So okay, so. First of all, you're in Vienna, so I know. What time is it there?
Mm-hmm. It is 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. That's some dedication because I don't know if I will be up at 3 o'clock in the morning talking to on DSMA Live.
Well, yeah, you guys know I love you, so yeah, we'll see. If I start fading out in a little while, you might have to give me a virtual kick under the table or something. But I'm feeling good. I'm ready to rock.
Okay, so there was a video that you posted on your Facebook page. It was some weird stuff going on. Can you describe, like, that video before we get started? Because I was watching it, and I had to watch it 3 times because I wasn't sure if I was seeing things or not.
Yeah, it was really So I arrived in Vienna around 8:30 on Sunday morning, and there is a 7-hour time difference between home where I live in Minneapolis and Vienna. And so, getting to Vienna in the morning hours was really tough for me. I had to, in order to kind of beat the jet lag, I had to find a way to try and stay awake for most of the day. And I thought, well, there's a couple of pretty famous museums. I mean, there's many famous museums here, but there's the Museum of Natural History and the one of the art museums. So I headed over there, and as I started walking into the central kind of plaza area, I hear music. And I'm thinking, oh, that's kind of neat. I wonder where this music is coming from. And I keep walking, and I walk a little ways up, and then I see there's these two guys playing accordions, and they have like those plastic horse heads on, and it really creeped me out. It was really weird. And so I had to just kind of sit and watch for a minute, and then I took a video so I could share the weirdness with the rest, you know, the internet or whoever could see it on the internet. But yeah, it totally creeped me out. And I guess it's those guys with the horse heads and accordions are a little more common than I'd heard about. Because as soon as I posted my video on Facebook, some of our friends in Europe and in the UK posted a picture of Chris Aldred, a grumpy pumper, posing with his grumpy face next to one of these horse-head accordion dudes at a recent conference, and that was pretty funny. I liked that quite a bit, but it was totally creepy and very weird, and yeah, I had to capture it on camera.
Yeah, because I looked, I'm like, okay, am I seeing things? And then I looked again, I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not, like, third time, I'm like, okay, this is weird, very weird.
Yeah, totally weird. It creeped me out big time.
So what's going on now?
I feel bad for all the kids who had you know, see and have nightmares and stuff like that.
Look, they probably used to it by now, seeing stuff like that. It would only just kind of make sense. So are you doing anything special down there or just going to just do some work?
Just coming to, you know, I need to kind of connect with the team every so often. And I, of course, just learn a lot from everyone here and kind of gather a lot of focus. And it's just nice to be here and with the team. We did have a big kind of refocusing and restructuring workshop earlier this week. That was really nice and exciting. So I'm excited about kind of what the next few months will bring for My Sugar. A lot of ideas that we're working on and things like that. So, not a whole lot I can talk about publicly, unfortunately. I know that kind of stinks, but I think we're working hard on things to make things better for everyone out there, and it's for me. It's just great to get back and see everyone on the team and reconnect with people here and learn from them. But of course, it's always kind of a tough balance because I miss my family at home when I'm away. So.
Definitely, definitely. I knew it was going to be something that you couldn't share, but hey, you know me, I just had to ask.
yeah, it's worth a try, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. So I know that you do not eat meat, so how do you survive over in Vienna? Do they have grilled cheese sandwiches?
I mean, they have grocery stores, and so, yeah, I actually made grilled cheese sandwiches at the place I was staying, and It was pretty delicious, but yeah, there's all kinds of stuff to eat. There's all kinds of options.
Nice, because I was like when you go eat out, how does that work? Just curious, and I also saw that you got a game of basketball in with the team.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had an opportunity to play some basketball at one of the outdoor parks nearby. And in the My Sugar office, we also share space with a company called 9 Yards. And they are a group of really talented programmers and developers that helped do a lot of work with My Sugar, but they're also the creators of something called Anyline, which is part of the platform that the My Sugar Importer is built on. So the way that the camera reads the meters and you cycle through the history and it recognizes your numbers and pulls that information into the logbook, that came from something that they developed. So we really enjoy sharing space with them and being so close with them. So we got kind of we had a My Sugar versus 9 Yards tournament going on. It was pretty even. We won some and they won some, and all in all, it was just a fun time out there.
Very cool, very cool. So, I'm sorry, my voice is going in and out, so you may have to take over for a second.
Been just busy times. I'm really having trouble keeping up with everything, and there's so much news and posts and updates coming up after the ADA scientific sessions. So I'm still kind of trying to carve some time out to read and get caught up on what everyone is talking about out there, much less stuff that I want to talk about. I haven't even been able to get that out there yet.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you can find time to do that, let me know how you do it so then I can do the same thing.
Yeah,
Because it
right?
was funny today, I was sitting at work and I was like, you know what? I wonder what it would be like if I had the opportunity to stay at home for 1 month and do stuff for decaf, like how productive I would be for 1 month. Like how much stuff could I actually really get done with 1 month with doing nothing but focusing on that?
That'd be pretty awesome. I'd love to see that. Maybe we can talk
Yeah.
your employer into like a little sabbatical or something.
I don't know about that. I don't know. It would be cool though, because I was sitting there thinking, I was like, you know, I see all these people like posting great and amazing things, right, about, you know, what they're doing. But I know a lot of everyone that has a not-for-profit, especially just starting out, a lot of them don't have a job. That's their job. And for me, I work. So I'm just curious, you know, if there's anybody else out there like me that has a full-time job. How do they get things done? Just curious. I don't know. That's a very random thought,
Yeah,
but I was thinking out loud.
and not to mention you're doing school too, right? Or had been doing school. Are you in between classes or still in classes, or what's the status of that right now?
So I am actually, so for those that don't know this, my husband is active duty Army, and he was stationed in Chicago for 20 months. So now he's actually stationed back in Indy for the remainder of his career. Amen. And so the last 20 months have been really trying because there's no way that I could, you know, be a single parent, raise my daughter, you know, take care of home and go to school and do anything, you know, organize anything diabetes related. So it's kind of been like just hanging without adding stuff to the plate. So now that he's home, I'm able to kind of organize things again and try to find a starting point. So now that he's here, it'll be easy. But to answer your question, yes, I still am in school, and so I took a break because he just got back couple of weeks ago. So I took a break and I start back on July 15th. But after this, my accounting class is over. It's 5 weeks. I'm taking two classes at once. I know.
Wow.
I know. I'm crazy. Scott was like, Sharice, you're taking 2 5-week classes together. I was like, yes, I am doing it. I know it's going to be crazy, but with him being home, I can actually buckle down a bit and do it. So I think I'll be okay. I should be
That's
okay.
I mean Yeah, it's. I mean, I think it's pretty awesome that you're going for it like that, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's in the, you know, in the diabetes world, like patient advocacy, you don't need a degree, right? But in the corporate world, you need a degree. So no matter how much you know, you still need a degree. So I'm trying to work on my degree and get it. Actually, I'm not going to say trying. I am working on it. And hopefully, you know, within the next, I believe it should be 2.5 years, I should be done with my bachelor's degree. And then I'll be able to really see, you know, what I want to do in the corporate world. I don't know if I want to stay in diabetes or if I want to leave diabetes or if I just want to get my degree. And maybe by then, who knows, maybe I may be able to do decaf full time. I don't know yet, but I kind of actually like the idea of working and then getting funds just for the programs. And because I don't know that, I really like my day job. And I like the company that I work for, so I don't know. But I don't know if I'm going to stay in diabetes.
Yeah, and that's okay, too. I mean, if there's a lot of opportunities elsewhere in the organization, then there's nothing wrong with that. We can fill your diabetes agenda with plenty of things for your after work hours and between school and stuff like that.
I know, because I was, you know, at first, though, in the beginning, when I started off on this journey, I'm like, I only want to work in diabetes. I only want to work in diabetes. And then when I really started thinking, I was like, you know what? I'll be passionate about anything that I do as long as it's for the good of people. Then I'll be okay. So I don't think that in order to help or be the change that I need to be the change in my, you know, with DCAP and in my 9-to-5 job, I think that there can be a balance. Maybe there's an opportunity somewhere where, you know, I could take what I've learned through social media and go to another disease state. I mean, there's so many different things out there, but I won't really, especially with the company that I'm working for now, I have to have a degree to go anywhere pretty much. So I need to make sure I get that taken care of first. And then once I take care of that, hopefully more doors will start opening. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely can't hurt. So we will support you in that mission 100%. And
well, thank you.
Give you a lot of credit for everything. You know, you've been working hard on it so far, and knowing that you've been doing it with your husband away most of the time too, that just boy, that's a lot. So nice job.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, it's cool, though. I mean, it's fun. It's something that I wanted to do. And it's something I just want to be able to show my kid. Hey, look what mommy did. And then also, too, though, it's crazy because while he was away, he was working on his degree as well. So it's kind of like being a family affair of we go back to school and we try to get our degrees. So it's definitely been interesting. So I got a question for you. Did you participate in DSMA last night? You probably didn't because it was 3 o'clock in the morning there.
Yeah, no, not last night, not at 3 in the morning. But let's talk about it, though. Let's go through what was the agenda and topics and how did it go?
Well, before we get started, there I have to tell you something. I know you are in Vienna, so there was an article today that Diabetes Mind posted. I know everybody's really excited about Nick Jonas coming out and really, you know, talking about being diagnosed with diabetes and, you know, living with type 1. But there is this lady that Mike wrote about on Diabetes Mind. Her name is Valerie June, and she is a musician. And guess what? She has LADA.
Oh, cool. Wow.
So she has LADA, and she was diagnosed when she was 27. And she started off, she didn't know that she, of course, she didn't know she had diabetes, but her story is pretty amazing. And she actually has a song called Organic Moonshine Roots. And if anybody knows what moonshine is, go Google it. But I think that's a pretty catchy title. But her story is pretty amazing. So if you go look on diabetesmind.com, you'll find out more information about Valerie June. But she can play the guitar, she can play the banjo, and she can also play the ukulele as well. So seems like she's very interesting, and I'm going to have to look her up on Spotify because I'm going to definitely check her out, and hopefully her music is good because that's someone else that has diabetes that can hopefully, if she reaches, you know, stardom or whatever, she's not ashamed to talk about it. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I love that. You know, the more people we have talking about it, I think the better off. So that's great. Very cool. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, you have to check it out when you come back. So let me get these questions from yesterday, because it was funny because I actually did not moderate the SMA last night, and I actually did not come up with the question. So I can't take the credit for it. It was actually Scott from Scott Rowland in the D.
Yeah, yeah, he's great. I love him.
That moderated last night, and I've always been a fan of his blogs. And I think because he's so honest when he writes. And one day he sent me an email and instant message. And he said, hey, I have some questions for DSMA. And I was like, okay, well, if you have questions for DSMA, would you like to moderate it? He was like, really? I was like, oh, yeah, sure. So this is, you know, part of me letting go and trying to let DSMA become like that community thing, because I don't want people to think that I'm always going to be behind that handle, because even though it is DCAF, it's still a community Twitter chat, and I want it to remain. And then also having that fresh perspective from different people in the community, it definitely helps out a lot. So, but yesterday's topic was pretty much a what would you do type topic. So, and it's like different scenarios. So basically, tonight basically is how he started, is that there's choices and priorities factors into the decisions that, you know, we make. And then it's kind of like he took that and he created what would you do. So everything is kind of hypothetically speaking, or different situations or encounters that could happen to you. So,
okay.
So I'm going to throw this first question out to you. As you know, what would you do? There's no right or wrong answer. So just I want you to be honest, Scott, which I know you are.
Okay.
But we can kind of toss these back and forth, because I didn't get a chance to participate last night. So while jogging through your neighborhood, you see a sign. We buy diabetic test strips with the phone number and a website tapped to a signpost. What would you do?
Boy, man, that's a really good question. I should know that they're really good questions coming from Scott. But, you know, I've seen these signs before, like probably many of us have, at busy intersections or places like that. So. I have to say that I would probably at least on my first pass, just kind of shake my head and keep running, or keep, you know, just leave it alone. But I don't think that I would be able to tolerate it for too long. I would probably, you know, next time or two that I see it, maybe I would jot down the phone number and then do some internet stalking to see if I could see what the heck is going, you know, who's behind that, what's it about, what are they doing. And I guess another option would be just to take it off, right? Take the sign down, you know.
Right.
I don't know.
You struggle?
I don't know. I definitely struggle, right? Like, I don't agree with that whole buying and selling test strips and diabetic supplies outside of normal channels. But then at the same time, I also think that there's a lot of price inflation and markup and stuff like that that we deal with, and it just the whole system feels kind of broken to me. But that doesn't mean it's okay to I don't know. I mean, have any of those signs? Have you ever seen any of those signs? Like, any of those signs you see posted like that on a telephone pole or stuck in the intersection, like a yard sign or something like that. I mean, they very rarely result in something that's good and and like
right
above board
right.
with everything. You know, it just seems kind of weird.
It does. I think for me though, it's so the patient side of me would say, you know, knowing that there's so many people out there that struggle with trying to make ends meet, I can see them selling their test strips.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, people with diabetes kind of stockpile things. So I can see them selling their test strips. The only thing that I would be concerned with, because right now there's, of course, no law that says you can't sell test strips, right? My only concern is that when you buy test strips, that does that mean that you're buying, you know, expired test strips? Or do you just
right.
take strips
yeah,
that, you know, haven't expired? So
yeah.
So that would be my concern. And then another concern would be is anybody monitoring these companies that are buying these strips? Because just
mm-hmm.
as I just said that there are people that are hard up for money and they may want to sell their test strips, what about those people that can't afford to pay, you know, $60 or $70 for test strips, and then they go to these different websites to buy these test strips? Is anybody monitoring, and what's the adverse, you know, reaction to, you know,
mm-hmm.
or anything that's happened to these websites? Who's tracking it? I mean, that's one of my
right.
biggest things is just curious if anybody knows the answer to that, please let us know, because
it feels kind of sketchy though, right? I mean, like there's something
mm-hmm.
just kind of sketchy about buying and selling test strips outside of normal channels that we're used to. And, you know, who knows where these test strips are. I don't know. The whole thing just seems kind of sketchy. So it's weird. I would stay away from it if I could.
Yeah, you know what? I've never seen one of those signs. Not out here where I live, ever.
Yeah, I see them. You know, Minneapolis is a city with, I don't know, you know, 500,000, 750,000 people in it. So I see all kinds of. I have seen signs like that before. It's sketchy, you know. It's just weird.
Right. Let's say, and Kelly Rollins said, I call a number, ask for their business name, and then log a complaint to the FDA.
Wow. Good to go, Kelly. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I would have never thought to do that.
Right, that's a smart thing to do, right? That's, yeah.
I mean, it makes sense.
Well,
but what normal person going to know, like you said, just run by the sign, and then you keep seeing it, and then eventually you'll try to investigate. But for the most part, who would have known that you can actually call the FDA to report a company that's selling test strips?
Yeah.
So,
that's
I don't know.
It's
so,
good to have smart people around. So, you know, we can draft off of smart ideas like that of Kelly.
right. I agree. So here's number two. As a barista prepares you, your drink, you spot another worker behind the counter staring at a 360 on a BG meter looking sad. What would you do?
So this is someone's making me a coffee, and there's an employee
mm-hmm.
back there who just tested a very high blood sugar, and they look sad.
Mm-hmm.
I would let them know that. I mean, I don't know if it was appropriate or if I could get their attention and just let them know that, hey, I've been there too, you know, and see if they need a little help, someone to talk to or someone to connect with. I probably would try and give them my contact information if they were open to that and talk with them later. I mean, obviously, if they're working, they're not going to be able to just sit and chat with you for a half hour or whatever, but I think I would try and strike up a conversation if I was able to get their attention, and if they were open and willing to talk about it.
That's a good one. That's a good one. If he would, depend on how far that person is from me, I would just say, you know what, you are not alone. And like you said, just say, here's my number. Call me maybe. No, I'm just joking. but I would just let him know it's okay. And Rick actually posted something. He said he would flash his meter and wait for them to say something if they wanted to say something. He said he's made a lot of connections flashing his meter with someone even without saying anything. So that's actually pretty cool.
I think that's really cool, actually. Yeah, just the kind of a silent acknowledgement, and then the ball is in their court.
Yeah, I mean, because think about it. How many times have you been in somewhere and you see a pump or a meter in the wild? Like, I remember recently I went to a restaurant here, and there was a kid, and my daughter was like, hey, Mom, she whispered, she was like, I think he has an insulin pump. And I looked over, I was like, nah, you know, you're right. So at first I wasn't going to say anything, and then I saw him get up, and because, you know, I kept glancing back, looking at him, because he's a little kid, maybe about 9 or 10 years old. And as he was leaving, I stopped him. I said, hey, you know, I noticed, you know, he has, a pump. And she was like, yeah, he just got it, you know, a couple of days ago. And, you know, and I said, well, I'm sorry to bother you. I said, I just wanted to let you know that I had diabetes as well. And as soon as I said something to his mother, she grabbed him and she said, he's never met anyone other than, you know, an adult. He's never met an adult with diabetes before. So I shook his hand. He introduced himself. And I made sure that I told him about, and his mother, about Friends for Life. Because to me,
awesome.
I think that especially with there's so many kids out there that think they're alone, to be around, you know, 3,000-4,000 kids just like them, it only makes sense for me to make that connection for him. And I wrote the information down on a napkin and gave it to the mother, and they went on their merry way.
Oh, that's cool. Wow, that's really great of you to go as far as to write the information down so that they would have it not forget it. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's about, right? It's about, you know, even though I'm not a kid, I know other resources for them. So it wouldn't have been right if I would have done anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Oh. Have you ever, speaking of that, of being providing resources to people, I find myself almost, I'll go ahead and say often these days, surrounded by resources and forgetting to, it's almost like I just don't have my act together when it comes to an opportunity to share a resource. And then after the opportunity passes, I think, you know, like, oh, I wish I would have shared such and such or so and so, or you know, we know so many people that are doing so many great things, and it's almost like the card catalog in my brain is broken at the moment, and when I need it, and I can't pull the information out, you know, and then I find it, it comes to me later, and but then it's too late.
Yeah. So do you think that, because to be honest with you, I know this sounds horrible, I don't even carry business cards at all. I have good intentions, but I never do it. So it's almost like if we carried something in our purse, or not purse because you don't carry a purse, but in your supply bag or whatever that you can hand to somebody, maybe, but then seriously, you could be at an amusement park and you're not going to take that stuff with you. So, I don't know. So,
I mean,
like,
maybe
if
actually,
you...
I, I usually do have some kind of, a business card with me, either my sugar business card or Scott's diabetes card. And yeah, you're right. I just kind of, I guess, be a little more open to sharing that when I meet someone. There are times though
Yeah.
when I've met people and I think like Rick's approach where he flashes his meter or some kind of a diabetes signal and then lets them respond the way they want to is a really good approach because I've approached some people like in a grocery store or shopping area where I see their pump or something like that and I talk to them a little bit and it's pretty clear that they don't communicate about their diabetes. They don't want to talk about it. And I always kind of feel bad, like as if I've intruded a bit into their space. And I don't know, there's a balance there, right?
Yeah, there is a balance. And sometimes you could see somebody and you want to say something, but that person doesn't look like they're approachable. Or you could, some people can get turned off. I mean, I remember I've said something to an older person with diabetes, maybe in his 70s, and he kind of looked at me like, yeah, whatever. And the only thing I said was hi. But back then, people weren't as open about diabetes. So I think it's maybe like a play by ear type of thing. I don't know. So, you ready for the next one? A good friend who's struggling financially tells you she offered a job selling natural remedies that reverse diabetes. What would you do? First thing that comes up to your mind, don't even sugarcoat it, because I want to know. Don't sugarcoat it. Be honest.
Well, this is a family show, so I have to sugarcoat it a little bit. No, I'd have to have a real heart-to-heart talk with my friend and just break it down for him. Listen. Yeah. That's just not, yeah. We're gonna find you some other work, okay? You're gonna do something different than what you're doing now.
Well, so
Or
Scott
just
shared.
keep it out of my keep it away from me anyways.
That's funny. Scott shared that a friend tried to sell him some juices that supposedly had diabetes benefits. He said he responded politely, but they don't talk anymore.
I run into all kinds of weirdness at the YMCA playing basketball. I've had guys tell me I need to just go eat okra and that'll do the trick, like okay. And you make a judgment call, right? Like you have to decide, is this person like, is it worth investing a bunch of time in educating them, or do you just write them off as a little bit crazy and then go about your business? And he was one I just had to write off because I don't know. Some people you can just tell right away that they're not gonna receive what the message you're sending,
I have to leave them at the altar and tell them, honey, there's no benefits. Exercise is one of the best benefits you can have when it comes to diabetes. And take your insulin, take your medication, and watch what you eat. That's all I could say. But I have to leave them at the altar because even though somebody like me, I don't cuss, I would probably say, are you out of your beep beep mind? That doesn't happen. You just got hoodwinked. So let's see here. So here's the next one. So a man on your train is sweaty, shaky, disoriented. No sure indication of diabetes, but symptoms are familiar. Train just reached your stop. What would you do?
Well, I think I would stay on and try and help him, offer him some glucose tabs or some, if I had something, some juice or some candy or something. So my brain is going in two directions at the same time, right? Like in one direction, usually when I'm really, even really low, and thank goodness I haven't dealt with being like confused and that kind of stuff. But you know, there's like a primal survival instinct that comes in when you're low, and if someone sticks a juice in front of you, or you know, something, some carbs or some sugar or something to help, I think you can, you know, that person would hopefully be okay enough to take it and start eating. But then the other direction my brain was going is that I would ask for help from some nearby, like whoever's nearby, to like get the attention of you know, some medical rescue if needed, because depending how low he is, that, you know, it could get bad. You know, it could pass out and need like really urgent help quickly. So, but I'm thinking like even a train. Like I don't ride a lot of trains, but you know, like okay, I can get off at the next stop and call for a ride or take a taxi or depending on what kind of ticket I have, maybe I get back on the opposite direction train and go back to the stop I'm supposed to get off. Like, I would definitely stay and do whatever I could to help them.
Well, I would do the same thing. I mean, it just, you never know. And I remember yesterday when I did respond to this one, I said I would stay on the train and make sure he gets medical treatment and try to give him some juice or some glucose tablets, because you just never know. And even though he may not have diabetes, there's something, you know, else could have happened to him, or something medical issue that we don't know about. So mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. you know, it's only right to stay on the train, because the train will loop back around. So,
yeah,
I think that's something, which is kind of like one of those reminders out there for us, because I know I do not have one on, but always wear your medical ID bracelet. So just in case something does happen to you, someone's not playing the guessing game to figure out what's going on with you.
Yeah, I think too, like I actually am very, I wear medical ID, I wear a bracelet and a necklace usually, because I'm kind of paranoid about that situation where I need help and people are not sure what to do. But the situation that comes to my mind that I'm not sure how medical ID, like it's always a good signal, right? But you know, when someone has a low blood sugar, they can become combative and aggressive. And in that case, like, you're not gonna be able to read my bracelet or my necklace. You know, there's got to be another. I wish there were another easy way to tell that my blood sugar was low without having to get close to me if I'm acting crazy. You know.
Right. That's true. I didn't think about that. That's very true. So let's see here. Here is number 6. You're thirsty, your BG is soaring, and it won't come down. You have ample backup supplies, but also have a job interview in 5 minutes. If you have diabetes, what would you do?
So I have a job interview in 5 minutes. My blood sugar is soaring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading into this that it's going up. It's not just like high and staying there, but it's going up. So I think what I would do. So I wear an insulin pump, and often one of the first, I won't say one of the first things, but one of the first in kind of a first handful of things. First thing for me is always with the high blood sugars, I've goofed up some calculation or something, or forgot a bolus. Second or third or whatever number you want to assign to it would be that there's a problem with my insulin delivery, whether it's something wrong with my infusion site, could be a crimped cannula, or maybe my site has been pulled out, or maybe there's something going on with the infusion tubing. You know, you kind of have to follow that chain of insulin delivery from the pump itself and the cartridge or reservoir all the way to the end of the cannula where it goes into your subcutaneous tissue. But so as my mind is thinking about all that, I'm thinking, okay, job interview in 5 minutes. I probably would try and take just a good old-fashioned shot, and assuming I had enough stuff with me, just to get some insulin in me working that I'm confident is there and working, you know. Depending on the job interview, you know, you might be in there for anywhere from a half hour to 2 hours, you know, who knows. But if you can, I think if I were to be able to get a shot of insulin into me, and you know, I wouldn't go crazy because I don't want to all of a sudden have a low blood sugar 90 minutes later or 2 hours later, but I would want to get something into me that could be confident that I knew was in me, rather than, you know, at this point, my whole insulin delivery system, my pump and infusion set, all that stuff is real questionable, right? Like, why am I even high in the first place? So by doing a shot, I'm giving myself insulin that I can be confident is working. So and what that's doing is basically it's buying me time to get through the interview and then kind of come back and then dig into more troubleshooting, switch out my infusion set and kind of do a pump change and all that kind of stuff.
That makes sense. So let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a job interview and either, one, you are going really high or, you know, you're dropping. Have you ever said to that person in an interview, I'm sorry, I have diabetes, and you may hear this or this is what's happening, and then continue with your interview?
You know, I can't remember anything like that. I think that there may be times where it would be hard to know the symptoms of being high against being just nervous, right? Like dry mouth and thirsty and just feeling weird. Like some of those things could be symptoms of high or low. But I think part of living with diabetes is knowing, you know, like I would know where my blood sugar was before going into the interview or meeting so that I wouldn't have to worry too much about it. If I was feeling kind of weird, I could either know, okay, my blood sugar is high, and, you know, yes, it would be ideal if I could deliver some insulin and start working on bringing it down. But, you know, high blood sugars, depending on how high they are, they can take hours to get back down. So, you know, to last another 15 or 20 or 30 minutes of talking to somebody in an interview, you know, sometimes you just have to kind of roll with the punch and deal with it afterwards. Or if there's a moment where they may step out or somebody, you know, they have to go get somebody new to come in and interview you or something like that. You know, maybe there's a little window of time where you can even do a quick blood test or deliver a bolus or something like that. But it really, I don't know, you just have to go with the flow of what's happening. And, you know, worst case scenario, deal with it when you get out of there. Unless you're going to be there for hours and hours and hours, you know, unless it's a low blood sugar, you'll be okay. If it's high, you'll be okay. If it's low, you got to treat it, and treat it quickly. But if it's high, you'll be all right, and can finish the interview, I think, anyways.
Yeah, the only reason why I asked is because before I moved here from California, probably up until the last 3 weeks of me getting ready to move from California to Indy, I had been looking for a job and I wasn't getting any leads. So, of course, 3 weeks before I get ready to leave California, I received a call from this hospital here. It was at the time it was called Clarion. Now it's IU Hospital. And the lady wanted to interview me. And I was like, well, she was like, can you come tomorrow? And I was like, I can't come tomorrow because I'm in California and I have to fly from California. Actually, you know me, I'm kind of honest. Like, I have to fly from California. I said, my husband's in the Army. I have to fly from California to Kansas City with my daughter. And then my mom's going to drive me from Kansas City to Indiana for this interview. She was like, oh, my gosh, since you're doing all that, let's see if I can line something else up for you. So she lined up three additional interviews, right? So in the same hospital, this hospital is huge. And luckily, the Dexcom rep at the time, I was having issues, you know, with my insurance company paying for the Dexcom sensor. So they were a very kind person and hooked me up. So as I went through the hospital, walking from one side of the hospital to the other, the CGM was going off, and I said, I want to be very transparent with you. I do have diabetes, and if you hear something beeping, that means my blood sugar is going low. So by the time I got to the other end of the hospital, I'm popping glucose tablets, and I sit down, and they hear it beeping. They're like, is your blood sugar low? I was like, yes. By then, I'm almost finished with my glucose tablets. She was like, do you want me to get you something? I'm like, yes. So everybody rushed out the room, and they got me something to drink and eat. Luckily, though, Scott, to be honest with you, I don't think I've ever I've always worked in some type of healthcare setting, whether it's, you know, normal medical equipment or in a hospital or in a clinic, that I've been able to be very upfront and honest. Because there could be many times, like now, you know, talking to customers on the phone or patients on the phone, sometimes I can go low and I'm like, hey, I'm low, can I call you back, when I'm talking to, like, people that work in the field. So I think, like I said, I know a lot of people can't be transparent sometimes, and it's all about that comfort level. Sometimes you may have to get inside the company before you disclose it. But I think that the benefits of eventually disclosing it after that interview, depending on your comfort level, could kind of be a pain in the butt sometimes, and beneficial, because sometimes people think they know diabetes better than you, so they watch what you eat and all that other good stuff. But for me, so far, the pros far outweigh the cons with physically being open and honest with having diabetes.
Yeah, it's you know, I love the fact that when that happened, you were in a setting, you know, kind of a healthcare setting where people were at least a little bit familiar or enough to help and get you something, or, you know, nothing too crazy of you for having, you know, having to deal with that kind of stuff. Because there's some, you know, we definitely hear stories of people dealing with, you know, really unforgiving people who just don't understand at all. And you know, that just sucks. So.
No, it definitely sucks. So, Scott, I know we got like 6 minutes to go, and usually, you know, we would go ahead and make it last just a little bit longer. But since it's almost 4 o'clock in the morning there, and I'm pretty sure you got to get up and go to work in the morning, if you want to go ahead and do the closing, go ahead and close it out. We're going to be a little bit unprofessional right now, so I apologize. But, Scott, thank you so much for waking up actually staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning to hang out and chat with us on this special edition of What Would You Do Diabetes.
My pleasure. It was a fun chat, and I really enjoyed it. And I will really enjoy getting a few hours of sleep before I get up and go to work tomorrow. So thank you for the extra 4 or 5 minutes. That's going to be awesome. And with that, we would like to thank all of you for listening and participating in the show tonight. Remember, DSMA Live is a program provided by the Diabetes Community Advocacy Foundation. Visit dsmalive.org to listen to our archived shows, read show notes, and check the schedule of events for upcoming shows. You can also subscribe to the podcast by searching for DSMA Live in the iTunes Store. Be sure and wear blue tomorrow for Blue Fridays, and until next Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we'd like to wish you all a very happy and healthy week.